Hello and welcome to the Odds Checker betting show. This is your Cheltenham Festival Day 2 preview, the Wednesday, and you find us at the Chelsea Surprise Pub in London. I'm your host, George Ellick, and I'm delighted to be joined by Johnny Ward, Andy Holding and Ed Quigley as we look ahead to the Cheltenham Festival. We've just recorded Day 1. We're going to record Day 3 and Day 4 after this. You can find it on the Odds Checker YouTube channel or wherever you find your podcasts. In Day 1, we already covered the weather forecast. We found out how each other were, so if you care about that stuff, go back and watch that in the meantime. But we're going to get straight into the racing. And before we do, just going to point you in the direction of the Odds Checker app, where you can find the best prices, bookie offers, free bets, the best place terms, which is essential, especially for the handicaps of the Cheltenham Festival, and the best tipsters, or some of the best tipsters in the game, including Andy Holding himself, where you can find his tips straight to the app every single morning of racing. So, day two, and we've got what was called the Baron Bingham, whilst he didn't have a sponsor, now called the Gallagher, which I think is quite a nice name for it. Do you approve?
Nolan Liam would be chuffed,
yeah.
Wouldn't he?
Well, yeah, Volker Memories of Shameless as well, like the Gallagher is like, but yeah. Nolan Liam would be chuffed, yeah. Well, they wouldn't say it to each other, but yeah.
I don't think Baron Bingham worked, did it?
I like the Ballymore.
I like the Neptune.
Yeah, I like the Neptune. Do you know what one of my big bugbears is? The fact that the Fred Winter is now called the Boodles, even though Boodles sponsors not only the Gold Cup at Cheltenham, but the Gold Cup had Punchestown. So is the Gold Cup now the Boodles, even though the Fred Winter was always the Fred Winter, after the great Fred Winter, and now we're calling it the Boodles?
I think your rant just there probably means that their spend on advertising is now justified.
So yes, exactly, yes. Give out about something. This is very much a Ryanair ploy. Annoy people, there'll be loads of free publicity, and that's why Michael O'Leary is as famous as he is.
On to the Gallagher then. Johnny, what did Gallagher do?
Gallagher was your man in Shameless, wasn't he? The Gallagher clan.
I don't think he's sponsoring the race.
I don't know.
He sent the midfield for Chelsea, didn't he?
Yes, good player, Simon Anfield. I actually don't know who Gallagher is.
Paul Gallagher? Anyway.
I don't know. Yeah, there we go.
Ballyburn.
Who's the favourite win?
Ballyburn is the favourite for the Gallagher, having seemingly, I think a few people have supreme tickets, but the Gallagher now looks like the planned destination. I should say we're recording this at about just after 12:30 on Thursday, so six-day decks are just in. And markets kind of reforming off the back of that, although there doesn't seem to be too much in the way of change across the day. But Ballyburn is for the 4-5 favourite. Mystical Power, 5-1. Il Atlantique is 5-1. Slade Steel, 6-1. Predators Gold, 11-1. Reed and Tommy Wrong, 11-1. Handstands and Gidley Park, both 12-1. 16-1 bar those. I should mention as well, these are non-runner no-bet prices as well. We've heard enough from you already, Johnny, so we'll go over to Andy and hear what he thinks in terms of the Gallagher with a, as we say, always say, your speed figures indicative of what we can expect in these novice hurdle races.
Yeah, I think Ballyburn's now the worst kept secret at Cheltenham, isn't it? Looking more likely that he's going to come here. That was the vibe sort of 4 or 5 days ago, the way that markets were shifting. They've moved even more markedly into the belief that he'll come here. Maybe Tully Hill and Mystical Power running the Supreme, which we've touched upon. I mean, he looks head and shoulders above this lot, not only just looking at him in his paces, but the numbers back him up as well. And if there was a doubt like there is about Lossie Mouth and Dino Blue, about the trip there isn't with this fella, he's already proven that he handles a reasonably well run 2.5 miles at a stiff track. The way he got to the line last time out against some good 2-milers, he's just the real deal. I actually think the 4-5 on offer with some firms at the moment is that he won't get anywhere near that on the day. I think this will cut up as well quite abruptly. Yeah. Doesn't look like there's going to be a big field against him, particularly when connections see the vibe of what's happening.
Willie Mullins had this morning 17 in this race.
Yeah, and I'll bet you a pound a penny he probably only run three or four. One of them, I think, will be Predators Gold, who I actually think, I put this also in my anti-post column. I've done very few, actually, on the build to Cheltenham, but I did have a crack at him before he ran at the DRF, and I was a bit disappointed if he didn't win, actually. He got beat by Dancing City on the day, fair and square. Dancing City's probably not a bad horse. He stays really well, but they were well clear of the rest, including Jatara. He just didn't get the 2.6 on the ground, but I think dropping back to 2.5, he could still run well enough to be in the frame. I think if I was going to have a bet now, and it'd either be Ballyburn to win or still Predators Gold each way, because I think he'll be tightening up just because of all the non-runners. It looks like Slade Steele's going to go into the other race. So he was my, I backed him at 20-1 for this, so I've lost out with him. hence the fact that why I've had to rebound and back him in the Supreme to kind of like cover my money there. So yeah, I think Ballyburn will probably win, but I'll be looking to maybe supplement my each way bet on Predators goal, which at least is still alive in the without the favourite market on the day.
Yeah, Predators goal best price currently 11-1. That's with Bet365. Ed, how do you see this? Can you make any case against the jolly?
There's 24 left in. I think this will be single figure field.
Mm. What's the line?
I've got 8.5 on this at the moment. I mean, there's so many horses. Still left in the Supreme and this, but
no chance of running.
Only reason I can see why they've been left in is in case we get absolute monsoons. It's heavy for day one, and then they think perhaps it's going to dry out by Wednesday, and they'll roll the dice 2 days later. That's the only logic I can see to it. I actually think, Predators Gold could go off second favourite here. Looking at this, Ballyburn will win. Predators Gold. I think Travis. He was very keen in the Nathaniel Lacey. He didn't look like a wannabe Albert Bartlett horse there. He looked like a horse who'd be happier just coming back a little bit in trip on some better ground, a stronger race. I think he'll run really well. One I've backed at big prices for this is the Ben Paulding Train Handstands. Unbeaten. Won the Sydney Banks last time out, beating Django Bay, former Grade 1 winner we touched upon earlier on the show as well. That's pretty good form. Ben Paulding won this race back in 2017. Willoughby Court, so he knows what it takes to get the job done here. And fascinating to hear Ben Paulding saying at the same stage of their career, actually feels Handstands ahead of Willoughby Court, which, considering Willoughby Court went on the win, says all you need to know. The difference this time round is there's a certain Ballyburn in a way, isn't there? Mm. And I think he will just prove too good. So, I think this will cut up to 8-9 runner field. I'm going to go, Ballyburn to win, Handstands to follow him home. I do think Predator's Gold will be much better suited by this 2x5 on the old course than he was by very slow ground over an extended 2.6 at Leopardstown last time out. So there you go, it's my 1-2-3. I thought it was difficult beforehand. It's all sorted.
Handstands 12-1 across the board. Johnny?
Sorry, just for, I think it has a massive price. I think Handstands will be third favourite and it'll be sixes. I was just looking at it. I think there's five horses of the eight above him who are not going to run. By default, he's lining up third favourite, I think, Handstands. He won't be out of three. I'd be disappointed if he was. Sorry.
Interesting. So, I mean, just looking at the exchange market, which obviously gives some insight into who runs, in Atlantique is still, there's money queuing at kind of 8.4, 9.6, 9.8, which suggests.
Going to run well, I think he's my danger to the favourite, but the favourite is just certain Sir Gerhard won this race. This horse, Sir Gerhard kind of almost was ridden a little bit that day to get the trip. This horse is so straightforward. It shouldn't be an issue to him. And I'd have Il Atlantique to chase him home. I like this horse. I think there's a lot more to come from him physically.
Would you be backing Atlantique at 5-1 each way?
No, to be honest. I wouldn't be confident enough. You're weighing up the win part. Will he beat the favourite? The even money on the place. I think there's more downside than upside. I'd want a bit bigger than that. I don't really like backing... you shouldn't really back too many bets each way with a mad odds on favourite either, for obvious reasons. But... Il Atlantique is going to be a bit like Ed now at the end of the festival. I'd be looking for a price for him to win a chase next season. I think he's a monster of a horse defence.
On to the Brown Advisory, the second race on the card. Factor File is the 10-11 favourite. That's with BetMGM and BetUK, 5-6 and 4-5 elsewhere. Stay Away Fay, 3-1. Monty's Star, 11-2. Grey Dawning, also 11-2. Broadway Boy, 11-1. American Mike, 12-1. MC Garden, 16-1. I mean, this is... But there aren't that many left in, and it still feels like it's going to cut up a lot by the time we get to Wednesday afternoon, Johnny.
It's a fascinating race. Like, if you're a Factor File fan, you're taking on Zana here after he was beaten by American Mike, and you're happy to send him off 4-6, taking on Zana here. It was a good horse and subsequently beat Aspire Tower. You obviously have a lot of faith in him. The last year at Leopardstown, Andy might furnish with some details. I don't know what he achieved. He's a gorgeous horse. Can't be backing him at 4-5, though. I just don't know how good he is. In a race that... Stay Away Fay, for me, if you fancy Corbett's Cross, Stay Away Fay was going to beat him last season. He ran him against the senior chasers last time at Cheltenham. Ran him against a good winner of JP's for Willie Mullins, whose name has escaped me. It was Capodanno. Mm. And Paul Nicholls, he's it's so weird. Like, he basically tries for... Paul Nicholls came up with a reason that not to run... Caldwell Potter at Cheltenham because he wouldn't have acclimatised in time. He was literally crossing the... He was crossing over from Ireland. It reminds me of... I used to go out with a girl, right, and there was this character of a teacher in the school and she called in sick one Monday because she was jet-lagged. She'd only flown from London. I was, this is... You can't... How are you like...
How do you feel you've acclimatised today?
I have acclimatised well, but like, I'm not pulling myself out of a Cheltenham race after being... What was it, like 750,000 the course costs? Oh, he's not going to acclimatise in time. This is a long-winded way of saying Paul Nicholls is running away from Cheltenham more than he ever does for whatever reason. He's like, oh, he'll suit Aintree, blah, 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 blah. He's still had two winners at Cheltenham last year. He still is a brilliant trainer. Stay away if he won them. I think he's a very, very good horse, jumps well. Him and Monty Starr, for me, are massive, massive dangers to the favourites, who, as much as he could be a machine, I prefer to see him in the book.
Andy, can you shed some light? Obviously, Pactifier winning unchallenged last time out, but visually impressive. Can you kind of put some meat on the bone?
Yeah, I mean, he was on the same card as El Fabiolo, so when you're comparing like for like, he's always going to be slower than El Fabiolo, isn't he? Who's a, you know, an absolute worldie over 2 miles. I think he's about 6.5 seconds slow on the final circuit, but he was eased down, so, you know, he was obviously value for better than that. His time figure was pretty good. It's whether he, you know, he can carry on for an extra half a mile and do exactly what he did there.
Surely posting a time figure, in like a decent time figure in those circumstances is pretty
impressive. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Like I've got nothing bad to say about the horse. I'm just finding it difficult to... I'm finding more reasons not to back them at the prices than I am to back them. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to be backing Factifal on a whim, on a guess whether he'll stay the trip. It's just not me. I've talked about other races where, you know, Dino Blue, and there's just no upside in taking massive odds on about horses that might not get the trip. Stay Away Faye, admirable as he is, I'm not sure whether he's good. He's actually quite quick enough to beat.
I'll say, but the old course suit him. Like.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. He just looks a bit laboured to me.
I know it sounds really daft. I actually would half fancy him to run better in a Gold Cup.
Yeah.
Than he would. He just looks an out and out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I could almost see him in the National Chase rather than this one. But using him as a guide, and this is where I'm going to come to the bet, particularly at this moment in time. So this bet wouldn't be feasible perhaps on Monday or Tuesday if you're looking at this preview. But if you cop hold of it over the weekend, then we think, what's your line? What's your line on this one, this spread on how many runners?
I've got 10. But it's we should say...
Can I have my first bet on
Gordon Elliott.
Yeah,
Gordon Elliott's horse is... I originally did that, yeah.
Seven, six?
It's going to be about... it's going to be seven, I think, looking at
seven,
that.
Seven, yeah. Perfect. So... what I'm saying, getting onto is it?
Gordon Elliott's horse has been supplemented. Sorry, American Mike.
American Mike. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think there'll be seven runners, so three placer on offer with quite a few firms. And the one horse I like is Sandor Clegane. Now, I think he was the most unluckiest loser of the entire festival last year in the Albert Bartlett. Mm-hmm. If you go back and actually watch that race from start to finish, he got absolutely wiped out at the top of the hill when some horse almost ran off the track. He got pushed out wide, he came back in, he was last going past the stands. He was 15, 20 lengths behind Stay Away Faye. How he's finished second, it was a miracle.
And beaten a length.
He was beaten the length, but like his sort of like career hasn't obviously gone the way of Stay Away Faye at the moment over fences, but I don't think he's done a huge right or wrong. They ran him over 2 miles the first day against Imagine on good ground. He was never going to keep up with that. And then he ran against Embassy Gardens last time out. And for some reason, he went all the way around the inside when all the other three jockeys went around the hair rail. So I don't know what they were thinking there, but he still ran well. You know, he still beat two good horses who finished third and fourth behind him, respectively. I think he's, the legs haven't dropped off him. He's got to be the same horse for Stay Away Faye, based on the hurdle form, if not better. And yeah, he's four times the price, or three times the price. So it's 14, 16 to 1 for Sandor Clegane, three places at this moment in time as we speak. I think he's a reasonable play.
I was wondering what the tongue tie was about the last day. Why, was there anything to that, or maybe there wasn't?
Possibly.
Paul Nolan as a target trainer for Cheltenham might be absolutely having like.
I thought it was fascinating, didn't enter him in the ultimate. Yeah. He's rated 140, whatever. And the fact they're going just straight here, I'm totally on board with you. Yeah, Sandor. He's actually my biggest winner of the Wednesday. Sandor.
Oh, is he really?
I think on the hurdle form, a very unlucky one length defeat in the Albert Bartlett. He jumped. Stay Away Faye really relishes a fence. You could argue Sandor Clegane's been adequate over a fence so far, but I'm all for Cheltenham form. This is going to be, yeah, I'm revising this to 7.6.5 as the line. I think he'll run a massive race. I totally agree with you. Return to Cheltenham will suit. And you say Paul Nolan likes to get he dismisses the tag of shrewdy, but I'd say he's quite shrewd. I'm massive each way player, Sandor Clegane, in a race where Factor File is soaking up a huge chunk of the market on the basis of beating one horse you pulled up. So there we go.
Yeah, 20-1 is the best price, but that's only a quarter of the two places with Hills. I think you probably will be taking three places here if you can. And therefore, BetMGM or BetUK that are both 18-1, you're getting 16-1 with most other firms. About Sandor Clegane, the pick there for both Andy and for Ed. On to the Coral Cup. Sam Majest is the 5-1 favourite ahead of Langer Dan at 7-1. Dolly the Great, 10-1. Built by Ballymore, 10-1. Lucky Place, 14-1. Mai Tai, 14-1. 18-1 bar. Stick with you, Ed, for the Coral Cup.
On the assumption the ground's all right by the Wednesday, I'll repeat we spoke about on if the ground got quite deep, I think Springwell Bay coming back to the Coral Cup trip would really suit him. He was devastating there back at the November meeting. But on the assumption he's going to the per temps, Mai Tai has got to come into the equation here for the Harry Fry team. Could not jump a fence for love nor money. I mean, he's an absolute monster of a horse, you know, 17 hands. And naturally you think, well, you've got the scope to jump a fence. Let's go and do it. Could not jump a large obstacle at all. Real poor jumper. So they've scrapped the chasing idea. And he's back over hurdles here. And on last year's Cheltenham Festival, again, it's a similar bit of the Sandor Clegane's on what's gone under the bridge since hasn't been spectacular. But if you go back a year ago, he was placed in the Martin Pipe off 145, game where he met a bit of trouble in running. I think if Lorcan Murta had his time again, he probably would have pushed the button earlier. And he was staying on really nicely up the hill behind Irocco. Of course, that's gone on to look a pretty smart form, hasn't it? And Harry Fry's got him in here, £3 lower this time round. So I say he was placed at the festival a year ago. He's £3 lower. I think the old course will suit better. I think he's a real lively player here. Clearly likes Cheltenham. 2.5 miles his bag. End-to-end gallop. And I said, I don't think they'll overcook the waiting tactics to the manner in which they did. I imagine Lorcan Murta was riding into instruction, but you often then become hostage to fortune, don't you?
Yeah.
And this is going to be a very very similar field dynamic to the Martin Pipe. 24 runners. I think he'll be ridden a little bit more prominently. If he can stay 2.5 on the new course, you know he can stay 2.5 on the old course, and you know he's got some 2 mile boot to go with it. So yeah, I think Mai Tai rock solid each way. I'll be playing up all the each way concessions and the extra places. I've backed him anti post win only, and then I will Dutch in again on the day. And I'll be annoyed if he's out the top six. If he can't finish in the top quarter of the field, I'd be surprised.
5 places is what you're getting at the moment, but that will change as we head towards Wednesday. 14-1 across the board for Mai Tai there. Andy?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of interesting runners in this. None more so than Built by Ballymore, who has the same kind of like profile to Fast or Slow, who should have won this a couple of years ago. I mean,
an epic song. Oh, Thin Connections are second in.
Absolutely, yeah. So he likes to lay one out. The ride he got last time out was quite extraordinary by JJ7. You couldn't work out what was going on. Is he dropping out? What's he doing? He almost looked as though he was going to pull the horse up at one stage, and all of a sudden he snaps back on the bridle, turning for home, and he could hardly hold it. He just went into another stratosphere, like when sort of stamina became the key component. And the same as the time before at Limerick, they went a good gallop that day. I backed one in the race, and then all of a sudden this Built by Ballymore's come up from nowhere, and you think, Jesus, what the hell is this? He's a very, very strong stayer at the trip, and the softer the ground, the more that'll play into his strengths. Whether he's totally ground related, I don't know, but he just seems like a soft or a heavy ground horse the way I look at him. He's a big unit. The sponsors have clearly aimed him at this race. They've done it before with a couple of near misses. So I'll be surprised if he doesn't run well. I was kind of coming around to the thinking that Bally Adam would run quite well because he's done so in the last 3 festivals. Second in a Supreme to Appreciate It, 4th to State Man in a county, 5th to Favour in a county. He's a big time Charlie when it comes to Cheltenham. But
exposed, but always runs well at Cheltenham.
But he's got top. They've 2 non-run. He's got top weight, which is a little bit off-putting. But
he's a definite run as well, according to Richard Thompson, Cheveley Park this morning.
Fair enough. But he's a class act, and class acts tend to run well in the Coral Cup nowadays.
Ballyadam 20-1. That's with Hills and 888 Sport. And we've got
Bill Boy Ballymore. Yeah,
Bill Boy Ballymore, 10-1. Paddy's Hills, Betfair Sportsbook, and a couple of others as well. Johnny?
The sponsors here are actually Coral, but Built by Ballymore.
Well, I mean, they sponsor. Yeah. You know, they used to sponsor the
Built by Ballymore, Sean Mulrine, Ballymore, the Ballymore hurdler. Mm. But if you're naming a horse Built by Ballymore, you're thinking he must be pretty decent. And he was with Pat Doyle, and he finished second to Pat Doro in a bumper at Punchdown Festival 2 years ago. So that was topical form, and that was on Yielding to Soft, which is my one encouraging thing, because Martin Brassel says after last day, oh, he really, really relishes this ground. He's getting out of 139. Like, he's really, really low in terms of what his upside. I fancied an epic song in the race last year, done by Langer Dan on the line. And JJ Slevin was done twice. One was by Corey Grambler when he was riding fast or slow in a handicap. Martin Brassel is a genius of a trainer. And I know that is overused, and I'm probably overusing it here, but he's a master at his craft. He's one of my bets of the week. He's so much upside. If he is travelling at all at the second last, go to the bar.
Yeah, there'll only be one winner.
Yeah.
It will be, yeah.
Only one winner if travelling well.
I've done that before, by the way. I was going to win a life-changing amount. It was a race in Gorn. The horse was out in front, met all the running. I'd actually stopped watching the race. What am I going to do with this money? Done on the line. Here I am.
Here you are. You wouldn't be here otherwise. Champion Chase next up is El Fabiolo is the 2-1 favourite. Had a John Bond at 130. Edward Stone 7-1. Captain Guinness 16-1. Lexington Nuts 25-1. Boot Hill 50-1. Gentleman Demi 50-1. And Funambol Sivola 150-1. Before we get the guys' thoughts on the Champion Chase, it's time to tell you about Odds Checker's free to play bingo game for the Cheltenham Festival. When you play the game, you'll receive a bingo card full of horses racing on each day at the Cheltenham Festival. You'll then win prizes as your horse win or place in the races. The top prize is tickets to the Grand National Festival at Aintree. All you need to enter is an Odds Checker account. So sign up or log in and play for free. Champion Chase time now with El Fabiolo, one of the shortest price favourites of the week. Johnny, can you pick any holes in El Fabiolo's chances?
So JP spent all this money on John Bond, which is, what was it, like 530 grand. And it's crazy money to pay for a National Hunter, 570 sterling. And I think he's gotten it back. If he's not, he's going to get it back in this race. But he's not going to beat El Fabiolo, is he? I know there's been issues said about his jumping and all that, but I just...
Overblown, isn't it?
It's overblown. I don't know, sometimes you almost want a horse to be so clever that he'd make the odd mistake. It never looks like falling to me. I was half giving John Bond a chance in the sense that Nicky, he wasn't at his best last year. But if that's you have to take that for, as granted. And then just the last day for me, it was disappointing that he was beat. It was also disappointing after he looked like he was getting back up that he was turned over. I have an idea in my head that a lot of walk in the parks are a little bit soft. If he's in a battle, I'm not exactly sure he's going to go through. That he's obviously a brother to the brilliant but fragile Duvan. And Fabiolo, for me, just put him in your double with a stake man, which at the moment is paying off.
Fabiolo, stake man double, Andy?
Couldn't argue with that. I think 1-2, standout price in the Villiers, that'll tighten up considerably. Because the main threat to him is obviously John Bond, his old rival. He's got so much to find that it's hard to see him turn the form back. But more to the point, John Bond's just become a little bit of a worrier, hasn't he? I was there for trials, Dan. He got really, really sweaty before. And I know he's done that before, so that's a trait of his.
That's the Mondew in him as well, I think.
Yeah.
Strange tactics holding out. I thought they would just let him stride on. He looked so good in Schlurr face when he went from the front. I don't know whether they're trying to teach him something or get him, but holding him up seemed to backfire, didn't it?
As Gary Neville says nowadays, it's something not quite right about that run in the.
That's quite a good impression.
about that run last time. Yeah.
Has he actually run him too much? And I never thought I'd say this because I've given out of a Constitution Hill all year, but he ran him in desperate ground at Sandown. Then he ran him back the last day, obviously changed tactics with him, he got warm.
Well, he just looks as though he's worried about Cheltenham for some reason. Mm. Because he got sweaty, he got fretty, he was jig-joggy down to the start. He headbutted the third, and then everything else went to pieces. He was jumping to his left. He almost got rid of Nico at the top. He was like a ticking time bomb, wasn't he, on the way around? And then the worst thing that could have possibly happened to him happened. He was an odds-on favourite, and Nico's thinking, well, I've got to try and ride an odds-on favourite to win on a showpiece day where everyone's expecting me to win. He ended up then having an absolute mother and father of a hard race. They were walking up the running. Yeah. The time figure was absolutely diabolical.
I think think it was James Bowen, wasn't on that day.
And now he's got to go. Now he's got to go back to Cheltenham again, a place where he's got some horrific memories.
How are tactics going to work here? Because I imagine Edward Stone's, the rejuvenated episode, is going to go forward.
Yeah.
Is John Mon going to go back to the Schlur where I say, go off like Patash, come and catch me? Gentleman de Mee's been left in here. I think it's fascinating. I don't think he's a million to get involved in this conversation, given he's a bit of a spring horse and his jumping went to pieces early last time out. He likes to go forward. This is a bit of a pace burn-up, isn't it?
Well, it's perfect for Townend, isn't it? Exactly. Whatever happens, if they ride...
I'm just trying to work out the... I'm Al Fabiola all the way. I'm trying to work out who follows him home on the, a bit like the State Man kind of tactics. Who's riding for second and who's going to...
Well, we've got a without market as well. Quarter of a two, though, so you're only getting two places with each way angle. But John Bond is 10 to 11, yeah. Edwardstone 9 to 4, Captain Guinness 6 to 1, Elixir de Nuts 14 to 1, Gentleman de Mee 20 to 1, Boot Hill 25 to 1, Fernambles.
Non runner, no bet, Gentleman de Mee each way without the Fav.
20 to 1, Paddy Power.
There we go. Yeah, I'd take that.
You're hoping he's ridden in an optimum manner.
There's so much pace going on. I mean, they're obviously going to have a chat about this, aren't they? And Edward Stone's, they're all just Alan Kinglake, oh, we'll decide on the morning what we do. That's nonsense. He's going to go off in the front. I'd be shocked if John Bond's held up with the ambulance again, or at least ridden with restraint. When he bolted up in that Schlur chase, you know, Harry Skelton got off. His face was, you know, white as the fireplace behind us. Said he was on Nube Negra. He was not a slouch. He said he'd never been in a two-mile chase since he had his jockey's licence, where they'd gone that quick. He said that literally, John Bond was just from the front. They could not lay up with him. And then these kind of restraining tactics seemed to confuse the horse totally last time out. So I think it's just everything just seems to want to go forward here. And as you say, it wouldn't be in Gentleman to Me's interest to kind of get involved in that. So I'm sure Clough Sutton will come up with some trick, but all in all, it amounts to Al Fabiola winning, but it's just it's more of a chat to find out who comes second. And where in trying to win the race, which I mean, John Bond and Edward Stone will be trying to do from the front, they almost go into the old cliche, be detrimental to their chances of finishing second. But that's the way I'd sum it up. So,
anything more to add on the champion chase?
Well, who's second?
It'll be very... I'm what Andy's saying there, I'm not really sure John Bond's going to run his race. Who'll be second? I don't know, to be honest. I don't know. I've no idea. I'm not exactly sure what pace will be on in the race. Like, will they take each other on?
Fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just a difficult betting race.
Captain Guinness would be ridden cold. I mean, he was runner-up last year, wasn't he? He could easily pick up the pieces. Fascinating.
I've no issue with backing the Jolly at 1-2. Yeah. At all, and that's my bet in the race.
Well, he's the same price as Lossy Mouth. And maybe I'm getting things wildly
100%.
Wrong. I thought he'd be 1-4, Lossy Mouth would be 4-5.
God, I do remember back in, I think it was Masterminded in this race, like a really heavy bet at like 2-5, fell in. And I was just like, I really don't want to do that again. Yeah, it was just one of these, he was somewhat weak in the betting on the day. But he won the previous year by like 50, 20 lengths, or whatever it was. And I was like, and I was watching. Yeah, I didn't really enjoy that.
Right, on then to the cross country, where, I mean, the cross-country fields these days are a bit different to how they used to be.
We've got grade one winners.
Yeah, I know.
Gold Cup winners.
Gold Cup winners. Manila Indo, 15-8. Former Gold Cup winner is the favourite here. Delta Work, 3-1. Galvin 9-2, Coco Beach 5-1, Foxy Jacks 14-1, Statler 16-1, Escaria 10 40-1, and bigger the rest of those as well. I put it to the tip because not everyone's cup of tea in cross country. Anyone got a strong view?
I don't have a strong view. It's a very good race, though, to be fair. I quite like Foxy Jacks if he rocks up at the price. He was brilliant here at the November meeting. Off a good weight that day as well, and he's in really, really nice form at the moment by all accounts at home. Problem is just the quality of the race, lads.
This is like gangland territory in the Bronx, isn't it? You know, if you're Henry de Brumhead, you do not go into their patch. And the patch for this race is definitely Gordon Elliott.
Yeah.
You just don't mess with Elliott in this race. He'll chew you and spit you out. And
will he briefly flirt with this discipline and then he goes out?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So everyone's like cotton on to Manila Indo, perfectly respectable runoff top weight in that handicap the other day. I have my reservations about him truly getting home if the ground is going to be heavy and that inside track is going to be like a bog.
It is on the cross country course at the time we record.
It's not going to be nice. It's not going to be nice. And I think,
as Mouse Morris said, it's probably the first time ever it's worse than the general track.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'd just have my reservations about Manila Indo at the current price, 7-4. I think it's a bit of a stinker. look, there's nothing wrong with Delta work. You know, he's won it the last 2 years. Elliott's a genius at this race. He prepares him especially. He ran him out of hurdles last time out.
He's going to have his ground.
He's going to have his ground, and he's 3-1. I could argue that he ought to be favourite, really, to retain his crown.
3-1. That's for Paddy Power, Betfair Sportsbook, Bet Victor, and Coral. Ed?
I'm with Manella Indo, just given that he is the class act in the field. I think he'd probably do worse than Dovetail, the top two in the market versus the field. You know, I think you've got all bases covered there. I just, Galvin, I would worry about. I get the feeling, again, this is me reading between the lines and going into Da Vinci Co, but Elliott insinuating this is the prep run for the Grand National, as opposed to, I think, Delta Work very much will be here. This will be his day, if that makes sense. Mm. Cocoa Beach, interesting. And the others, I couldn't have Statler. He looks like the old fires. Oh. The fires have gone out.
He just didn't take to it last time, did he?
The rest, I don't think, are good enough, to be honest. So I actually think when you know, as I say, you start sorting the wood from the trees, there's only really 3 or 4 players here, of which the top two, I think, perfectly fair. Yeah, I'm with Manella Indo. I just think he's the class act. I would just like to see the ground dry out a little bit, but say Gold Cup winner, Albert Bartlett winner, comes alive here. This will be a good match, him against Delta Work. There'll be some fascinating cat and mouse tactics as well, and very much look forward to it.
Yeah, Manella Indo 15-8.
Which I don't think I've ever said about the cross-country race, but I am very much looking forward to the cross-country. And I'm very much looking forward to the Mayor's Novice.
Those two Mayor's races,
what phenomenal. They're three
he's,
races.
He's not listening.
I was thinking, yeah. He lost me at Mary. Oh.
he's looking at the decks at Dundalk.
Divide the 0-60.
Two more races to get through on Wednesday's card. Starts with the Grand Annual. My Mate Mozzie is a 7-1 favourite ahead of St. Roch. 8-1, Madara 10-1, Harper's Brook and Liberty Hunter both 10-1, Path de Rue 12-1, Safura 12-1, 14-1 bar those. Andy, Grand Annual?
Yeah, and the front two in the market, we might not see My Mate Mozzie here.
Yeah.
He might go in the Arkle. If St. Roch wins this, then I'm like, what on earth is going on? He looked as though he just hated life last time out. He just didn't face it at all. Halfway down the back straight, he was jumping right. He just wanted to bail out. Everyone's looking at him thinking, oh, yeah, this is a handicap plot. But if the mind's not there, it doesn't matter what mark you get. Because Gavin Cromwell's probably looking at shifting My Mate Mozzie, I think he's got a bit of a pathway to this race with Path d'Oro, who should have won or probably would have won at the Christmas meeting at Leopardstown. It had the eventual winner not jumped across his path.
Even though Keith Donoghue rather blamed himself, strange enough, for that.
But he was going for an ambitious run. It was half there or not. It wasn't quite in Patrick Munner's, Danny Munner's territory. But either way, I think he would have won that day. And he's had two spins subsequently. He's running against Hunter's Yarn.
The Arkle will give a collateral form boost for this, won't it? Yeah.
And I actually think he jumped a lot better back at the DRF last time
he's
out.
He's not amazing at defences,
but he gets from A to B.
He winged a couple down the back, like the ones who...
when he got a stride, like...
He really let fire. He was good at the final ditch as well when he needed it. So I definitely think he's warming to it. But all in all, I think, you know, Cromwell's got this in off...
It's interesting, he's left My Mate Mozzie in.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'm wondering whether they're just maybe looking at the ground and for the opening day and... I mean, My Mate Mozzie, you know, right old chance this, wouldn't he? I suppose he is, might be a little bit of a hostage to fortune again if he's got to be ridden cold throughout a big field. But
I think a lot of people are persuading Cromwell to perhaps have a little bit more of a look at the Arkle now it's a bit more wide open. And I think he's coming to that way of thinking. But he has got a very able substitute here where if he splits them apart, he's got two chances of having a winner. The other one who's mentioned is Harper's Brook as well. He's all right on monkeys. I mean, he's pulled himself up a few times and snatched... defeat from the jaws of victory. But
Ascot was chaos, wasn't it?
Nightmare. But he was good last time out when they dropped him back in trip. That's been the sort of key to him, dropping him back to 2 miles. And Ben Paulin's won this race with... what was the horse he won it with a couple of years ago?
You've got me there.
25-1 shot.
Global Citizen.
Global Citizen.
Oh, yeah.
So
Owners.
Same owners, yeah. He's got a bit of previous. Those would be my two. I've backed Path d'Oro already, anti-post, but I'd probably... Just for the fun element of it, watching Harper's Brook trade at 101 in running would be fun.
I'm surprised Pat Doro is actually that price because he is
12-1.
It's 12-20. He's 6 pounds higher than the Leopardstown run, which is fine. I follow this horse a lot. I think he was sent off I backed him in the Royal Bond when he completely blew out as a novice hurdler. But he was sent off that day, like 9-2 against Marie Nationale. They thought so much of him. You'd have thought he would have been more of a natural at his fences, but he's getting there. Gavin was really happy with him going into Leopardstown. I will say that he was this horse in a good place. 12-1 is fine by me. If he can get into a reasonable rhythm and get into kind of a, I suppose just at his fences, get into a good stride at his fences, he'd run very well.
Ed, anything bad?
I would be really keen on my mate Mozzie if he lined up.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to make it. Obviously, it'll be Sunday, won't it? Sunday, 11 a.m. or there or thereabouts. So I have to make the decision on it outside. So
on the exchange, there's nothing queuing to back my mate Mozzie. So 25 to back.
I just imagine it's just a ground provisor. As I said, there's this absolute storm coming in. If the rain, you know, it goes heavy for the opening day, that might get him a little bit nervous. They might think if the ground's going to have another 24 hours to dry. I'm guessing here. But he has been left in it. No strong views in this. Pembroke, an interesting horse, given I think he's a horse of raw ability. He was absolutely smashed up. He was our horse for the county hurdle
last year, and he was menacing well,
didn't he? Until he walked through the hurdle coming down the back, two out, and that put pay to him. It's been a stop-start chasing career, but I'm not convinced he's a 2.5-miler. They've tried it, and he actually jumped really well from the front under attacking tactics last time out at Kempton before fading inside the closing stages. I think strongly run 2 miles, being ridden positively from the front, would really suit him. He wasn't even mentioned in Dan Skelton's stable tour, so I'd take that for what it's worth. That might be a positive, but he's been left in here today. All in all, a lot of question marks about this race. I'm probably going to wait until much clearer, nearer at the time.
There's a great Racing Post note on Pembroke's win at Aintree unchallenged when it was in a four-runner race and the other three finished pulled up.
It says, legless.
Finished tired and alone.
Yeah, tired and alone.
Which
is like
how
an
I often feel.
I've used that gag before. It's like
at least he won, though.
Pembroke 25-1 with 365 Paddy Power and a few others as well. My mate Mozzie 7-1 with most firms. Harper's Brook 10-1 with Coral, but Sea of Blue is short of sevens elsewhere and Path Through 12-1. 365 and a couple of other firms. Final race on Wednesday's preview is the Champion Bumper. Andy, will come to you first because, again, this is where figures come in very handy because all of these have clearly been very impressive in terms of their racecourse form. That's why they're showing up here. But Jasmine DeVoe and Jalon Duderi are the 2 6-1 joint favourites with the Yellow Clay and Romeo Culio in 8-1. You Ought to Know, 9-1. Tishan, 10-1. Argento Boy, 14-1. 16-1 bar those. Who comes out on top of the figs?
There's only really been a handful of horses who've run a notable time this
really?
Season. Cantico was one of them when he won at Navan last summer. That was a good even gallop. And
16-1.
He stayed on really well. William Munnings trains him, so I think he's got to be a player. But nothing else really. I thought Maureen might have won this had she come. I think she's a talented mare. We'll hear good things of her further down the line. But
are you into the hipster, the Yellow Clay selection after Leopardstown?
Well, I was just about to say that it wasn't the strongest time, but the best form guide for this race where all the best horses ran in it and a race that Fasal Vega won and A Dream to Share won before coming here was the race at the DRF that Jeroboam Mashan won. Without a shadow of a doubt, the Yellow Clay was absolutely desperate. Whether he would have beaten the winner, I don't know. But he was coming with what looked a very potent threat in between two and the last. And he got chopped off when a horse dropped back in his lap. He shuffled him right back. He had to switch outside. And he's finished like an absolute train. That was super, super eye-catching. And you'd like to think he's got a bit more improvement to come because I think that was his first run for a while. And Gordon Elliott has upset the Mullins bandwagon in recent times, hasn't he? He's won it Envoy Allen and Fiona. That's the one,
Faheen's relative Maureen, of course, was favourite for this song.
In short, I think the Yellow Clay, even though a million of people have latched onto it, and I sound like I'm jumping on the bandwagon, but I think there's valid reasons behind it.
I'm worried about the ground this race. I find it very difficult on what you had.
I have no idea. I'll be looking at trying to get prices 2025 festival.
Isn't it funny how he's no interest in the flat race at Cheltenham?
Oh, keep on it. From a betting perspective, I just think that personally, just too much guesswork. A lot of it is on hearsay. Someone, some someone on the Twitter art, yeah, the stat of the Willie Mullins third string strike rate relative to something is good.
That Fernie Hollow in it, but otherwise have a terrible record.
Yeah, just a race I'll watch, but at the moment. I thought You Ought to Know was a bit of an eye catcher. If You Ought to Know drifted to a big enough price, I'd get involved, but no strong views.
Can be a really messy race. Well, if you look at Dreams Share and Factofile last year, it was carnage for Factofile. It's actually been put forward at one preview night. He was not straightforward at all coming up the hill last year. He ran badly left under pressure. I'm sure Patrick got a ban. And then a Dreams Share was able to nib up because of the two McManus colours. Factofile was sent off favourite. Because of Dreams Share, there was a big ground concern, but the Factofile ran all over the shop. It was carnage, and it can be a very messy race.
Yeah, absolutely can. Anything to put up beyond what we've already spoken about?
Actually, a couple of Willie's horses that sort of not particularly heralded, I was looking at earlier. Argento Boy's a horse by Jukebox Jury. Absolutely bolted up the last day. Probably not a lot of chat about him because it was only a small field on the day. 10 runners sent off evens and Jody Townend rode. I think it was kind of one of those days where there wasn't a lot made of it, but I like Jukebox Jury's a surrogate. Very, very good staying types. I'd probably back some sort of Willie second or third string in the race. I actually don't know how many he'll have in the race, but I reiterate this at the start for a podcast. I'm worried about the ground in general and this race in particular.
Great stuff. That brings our day two, our Wednesday preview of the Cheltenham Festival to a close. Thank you very much for listening or for watching. Thank you to Ed, Andy and Johnny for their tips, thoughts and insight. We're about to record day three, so make sure you check that out on the Odds Checker YouTube channel or wherever you find your podcasts. Download the Odds Checker app for the best prices, bookie offers, free bets and Andy's tips straight to the app, as well as the best place terms ahead of the Cheltenham Festival as well. Fingers crossed for some winners. Enjoy the racing and please do ensure that you gamble responsibly.